Well, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 7. And that might be a little bit harder to find. Open your Bible in the middle, flip through the Old Testament. You'll eventually get to Daniel, and then you'll get to some of the minor prophets. And after you find the book of Jonah, right after that is the book of Micah. And today we're going to continue our study at looking at the REACH movement. And we've been looking at the R for refresh, and we looked at E for evangelism and A for assimilate. Last week we looked at C for community. Well, today we're going to look at H, and we're going to look at heritage. And so I'd like for you to join with me as we look at Micah chapter 7 as we begin in verse 14. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. As in the days where you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might, and they shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. We think of this morning of our mothers, and Lord, just the blessing it is to have a godly mother or grandmother or a godly sister in Christ who is in our life. Lord, we pray that as we look at our church, that as we look at this REACH movement today, that you would help us to understand the importance of the heritage that has been given to us. And Lord, that we would be good stewards of that. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us over the next few moments, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first African Secretary General of the United Nations, Boutros Ghali, had an interesting rise in politics. His grandfather, who was Boutros Ghali, was the only Christian prime minister out of Egypt. And in 1910, he was assassinated. The crowds in Cairo hailed his Muslim killer, but the family wanted to make sure that his legacy endured. So when they had their grandchild, they gave him the name Boutros, which meant Peter, and they named him after his grandfather and challenged him to be something great in life. On his tomb were the words, "God is witness that I served my country to the best of my ability." Boutros Ghali, when he became the first Secretary General of the United Nations from Africa, said, "For a boy to grow up with such things creates an impact. I felt I would betray the tradition of our family if I didn't play a political role." Now, all of us today are greatly influenced by the heritage that has been given to us. We have people who have impacted our life. Our parents, our grandparents. Significant people who maybe were a Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, maybe a teacher at school, maybe a neighbor, maybe some type of friend. But there are people that as you look back in your life who pass something on to you. And I think it's appropriate that today, we on Mother's Day, that we look at this idea of heritage and think about what has been passed on and what are we passing on to the next generation. And so today I want us to look at the importance of heritage. And the first thing I want us to do is define heritage and see how is heritage defined. Heritage is defined as the valued objects or qualities that have been passed down from one generation to the next. Let me repeat that. Valued objects or qualities that have been passed down from one generation to the next. Now, we always tend to think of heritage as a good thing, but we know that not every tradition, not every value, not every object that has been passed down has necessarily been good, whether it's from our family or from our society or even from the church sometimes. And so we need to understand that we have all been influenced by those people who have shaped us and guided us, sometimes for good, sometimes for not good. But today I want us to focus on the heritage that is good, that is godly, things that should be valued, things that would encourage us, things that would help us as we move forward. And I want us to look at two areas real quickly. The first is the family. And what does the heritage look like in family? Again, today is Mother's Day. And think about, for most of us, you can probably think of a godly woman who had a great influence in your life. Whether that's maybe your mother, a grandmother. I think about this day, it's sort of bittersweet for me because my mother has been at home with the Lord for over 20 years. And I miss her greatly. And my aunt was sort of like my second mother, and she passed away. And so it's great to be able to celebrate it with my wife and see my kids honor her. But I miss having a mother that I can call and say Happy Mother's Day to. I miss being able to call my grandmother or my aunt and be able to do that. But God has brought other ladies in my life who has sort of served as that role, who has sort of served as that step-grandmother. Some from this church, some from outside of this church, who have taken on that role and passed on godly values, godly heritage, and be an influence in my life and others. And you know, that's important for us to understand, and we need to look at what are we intentionally passing on to our next generation from our family. You know, we get an idea of this in the book of Timothy. Notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1. It says, I thank God, when he talks about Timothy, whom I serve with a pure conscience as for my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. Here's Paul, and he looks at Timothy, and he says, man, there's something special about you. That there's a genuineness to your faith. It's real. And you know what? I can look at that faith, and I can see that has been passed on by your mother and your grandmother. They were praying for you, Timothy. They taught you the Word of God. They lived out that Christian life in front of you, and you saw it, and because of them, you have believed. And today, as you held to that faith, it's because the generation before you set that example. And, you know, a lot of times, we get real intentional about passing our passion for sports or our passion for our hobbies or our passion about other things to our children and grandchildren. But you know the most important thing that you can pass to your family members is the faith that you have in the living God.
And I want you to step back and look and say, what are you doing to intentionally pass on the faith to the next generation in your family? And sometimes we need to step over. Sometimes we know that we have nephews and nieces and our brothers and sisters sort of wandered off the reservation. We need to step over that line and we need to pass our faith on to our nephews and nieces. We need to pass on our heritage to our children and grandchildren and to our extended family. We need to be able to look and say, listen, it's our responsibility to make sure that we tell those stories of how grandma and granddaddy used to always go to church and were never ashamed of the gospel. And sometimes they don't want to hear it. That's okay. That's the advantage you get in being a parent or a grandparent. They don't get a choice. You just get to talk anyway. So use that advantage. Pass on the stories because you don't know what impact those stories may have after you pass away. And if they've never heard them, there's going to be no one else who will be able to pass them. You know, the Bible says to honor your father and your mother. And you know, if you were blessed enough to have a mother who was a Christian who passed her faith on to you, or a grandmother, or there's that special person in your life, do you realize what a blessing that is? There's so many children today who are growing up without that. If you've had that, will you make sure today that you take time to honor that heritage that has been passed on to you? Then secondly, I want you to see the people of God. Not only do we have the heritage of the family, but we have the heritage of the people of God. And in the book of here in Micah, we see that he was a prophet and there was judgment coming to the people of Israel. And he was prophesying that judgment was about to come. And there's a warning that, listen, Israel, this has happened to you, but Judah, you're not far behind. That judgment is going to come on you because you have forgotten what was passed on and you have forsaken the worship of your God. And as the people of God, it's important that we take it as our responsibility to make sure that we are passing the faith on to the next generation. Man, I'm telling you, in America today, the church is in crisis. And it's the reason is because the older generation has not passed on the faith to the younger generation. More and more young people are growing up with a view that they do not believe in God, that they do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and they grow up even with sort of an anger towards the church of God. And we have a responsibility, church, to make sure that we are investing in our students, in our children, in our youth. And that's not just that we pay a few people to do it. It's each and every person's responsibility to be praying for, getting to know, mentoring, and participating in the ministry of passing our faith to the younger generation. There should at least been one amen. Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the suggestion. Now this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that I may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel,
The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. God says, listen, it's important that you make sure that the next generation understands who I am and my word. And you need to be talking about it all the time. When you're sitting down for dinner, when you're going and walking and doing things, you need to be talking about me. And the reality is we have children who come to our Awana program. We have youth who come to our youth program. And unfortunately, they don't have a Christian mom and dad. And so it's our responsibility to be able to say, you know what? We've got to serve that role and be able to pass our faith on to them as well. Amen? And we all need to be involved. And we all need to step up and say, listen, we need to go reach into that community. We need to go reach those families. And hopefully, as we reach the kids, we'll also reach the parents. But we need to be willing to come and to pass on our heritage, the Word of God, our faith. You know, that's what Israel is supposed to do with the feast. Every year they had these feasts and they were to remember them. And they were to remember different things about God. And sometimes they forgot and didn't do them. And the same thing is with the church. Notice what the Lord gave the church in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, for I have received, Paul writes, from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he is betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, Jesus said, listen, I have two ordinances that I give the church. One is baptism, one is the Lord's Supper. These are important. These are traditions. This is my heritage that I'm passing on to you. Now, this is the challenge with traditions and heritage. You can get trapped up in just going through them, and you do them, but you forget what they are really about. And that's what's happened to some of the churches out there. And I'm not here to bash churches. I'm not. But there's people who, you know, take baptism and they baptize different ways. And so they sprinkle a baby. And I'm not here to condemn that. But what I am to say is, man, you missed the whole purpose of what baptism is about. Because you have missed what God has said. Listen, baptism is about when you make the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you understand that in that water, you understand his death, that he died on the cross for you, that you were buried in sin, and that you rose again from the dead. And just as Jesus was baptized and walked out and then gave his life to his Father's will, so do I, as I walk out of that baptismal water, say, I identify with Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I am here to go and serve the kingdom of God. The Lord's Supper, there's many views on what the Lord's Supper means. And there's many who just take that bread and the juice and they just drink and they have no clue what that means. But to us who understand the tradition of what our Lord was teaching, understand that that body is his life. And that there's no way that we can go to heaven unless we receive that life. It's not any work that we do. It's a gift that he has given. We understand that by taking that cup, it was our sin that had to be paid on Calvary.
It was an understanding that he died for the wrath of God because our sin deserved wrath. Our sin deserved punishment. And when he died on the cross, he paid sin in full. And then he rose again from the dead. And so when we take that cup, we believe that the blood of Christ paid the penalty for our sin. And that we are clean before him. And we believe as we take the bread and the cup, that one day, as we do this on earth, we will do it with him in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, isn't that rich and full of meaning? You see, that heritage is important when we truly understand what it means. But listen, if we don't tell the next generation and explain things to them, then it's possible they come to church and they still do the same programs and they do the things, but they've lost what it's really about. And sadly, there's many churches that are like that today. And you go in them and they sing songs and they give money and they hear a sermon. But the life of that church is dying because they've forgotten really what it's all about. And that's why it's important for us to pass on that heritage. So we've looked at what heritage is defined, but I want you to see that sometimes heritage is abandoned. And we see that this is what's happened to the people of Israel. And I want us to look at two main issues for this. Number one, the reason that heritage is abandoned is because it's not passed down. Sadly, this affects families and the church. There just hasn't been time where the relationships has been built with the younger generation. We haven't met with our children. We haven't met with our grandchildren. We haven't taken time to get involved in children's ministry or youth ministry. And we don't meet with the younger adults and the college students, and we don't talk to them about the good old days. And we don't share with them the successes we had and the challenges we had and how God came through. And so that faith never gets passed down. And then we step back and we complain about how wayward that generation is growing up. And we never look introspectively and say, what did I do to actually pass it on? And so we have to be intentional, because if we're not, then we miss the reality. Israel was supposed to celebrate the feast. They were supposed to read the word. They were supposed to tell the stories. And there were decades and decades and decades where Israel just didn't do these things. And they forgot what they were all about. And sadly, there are churches that don't know the history of their church. They don't know what everything was about. And so, again, they're just here and they don't understand and they don't appreciate the blessing of all that being able to be able to come and go. I love those reality shows where maybe you've seen the people go into a pawn shop and they go and they buy something for $10. And then they come out and they laugh and they go, did you know this thing was actually worth $10,000? And there's golden nuggets, older generation, that you can pass on to our younger generation. And they may only think that's worth $10, but later in life they're going to understand what you were giving them was worth a whole lot more. And it's important that we pass that on. We are very intentional at our church about doing some things. So I've had people ask me questions, why do we not do Sunday school where we do it age graded? And we just have all the young people in one class and then the next and then the next. Because I believe it's important for the young people to be in class with the older people so that they can get to know them and hear the wisdom that they have. I also think it's important for the older people to know the younger people and understand the challenges of this generation. It's a blessing for us to be together. We need that. We need to be able to build relationships between generations so that we can get to know each other and minister together. There's so many churches that choose just to be one or the other. I remember meeting a church planner one time. And he said, you know what? I don't want any gray-haired people in my church. I just want a church that reaches young people. And I understand what he's trying to say. He wants to reach the younger generation and all that. And I thought, how sad. I want a church that's made up of young people and old people and everybody in between. I want a church that has white people and brown people and black people. I want a church that represents our community, and the thing that unites us together, whether we're young or old, is not the things of the world, but that we have a true belief in Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to know that sometimes it's not passed down, but sometimes it's not received. Sometimes the younger generation just doesn't want to hear from the older generation. And we both need to get better at what we're doing. Older generation, you need to make the commitment to be willing to share to the younger generation. But younger generation, we need to be willing to listen and to receive. Now, we do ask older generation that when you do tell a story, that you could do it maybe in 3 or 4 minutes and not 25. All right, that helps for the younger generation, okay? I will just give you that little bit of tip, okay? That's free, all right? But let me tell you something. This important that we're able to hear those stories because they can impact our life. Notice it at what the Bible says about King Rehoboam when he became king, a young guy. And it says in chapter 12 of Kings, it says, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders and stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And then if you read about King Rehoboam, you realize he has an awful experience as being king because he wouldn't listen to those who wanted to help him and give advice. Young people, we need to listen to the wisdom of the people who have gone before us. And we really, it's a thing in our generation where, one, we are afraid to ask for help, and two, there's this pride that we think that just because we're 23 years old, somehow we know everything. And we don't. And there are people who have gone through life, and they know where the challenges are. And they've got great wisdom that they can pass on to us. But we need to be people who are willing to listen. And that needs to become part of our DNA. We need to hear the stories and pass them on. That doesn't mean that we have to do everything that the way the old people did it. Jesus said, listen, sometimes you have to take the wine and take it from the old wineskin and put it in the new. That doesn't mean that every method and methodology and way things are done have to be always done the same. But there are principles and values that are important and imperative that we know that we pass on from one generation to the next. The last thing I want us to look at is heritage honored. How do we honor the heritage before us? And that's where I want us to look at our text real quickly. And the first thing I want you to see is we need to remember. Notice it says in verse 14 and 15, it says, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a wooded land in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. I will show them wonders. They needed to hear those stories of what it was like when Israel was slave and they had been freed, and how God had blessed, and the lands of There, Bashan and Gilead were these great fields as they're being shepherded, the imagery of cattle and sheep, where they could just be able to graze and be taken care of and be in the prosperity of God. And we need to hear those stories of victory and the goodness, but we also need to hear the stories of struggles and defeats. And we need to realize that sometimes, you know, the older generation, we messed up. And we have to tell that to the younger generation. We have to tell about the times in our marriage when it was hard. We have to tell about the times when we failed as a parent. We have to tell about the times we got things out of balance. We've got to tell the good and the bad so that we can help the younger generation understand that we know what life is really about. And we need to remember those stories so that we can take time to be able to reflect upon them and learn. Second thing I want you to see is we need to be responsible. We see in verse 16 and 17 that there is an inheritance that has been given to us. That was an interesting one to see. That inheritance is a great gift that has been passed on to you. Some of you have been blessed to have an inheritance that has been passed on to you from your parents. And life is easier for you because your parents worked really hard and they've passed away and they have left you some resources. And you've been able to build your life upon what was left to you. We need to remember at Grace Baptist Church that the reason that we are able to be so effective in many of our ministries is because there were men and women who 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago sacrificed and said, you know what, we don't want to be a church that has a bunch of debt. So we're going to work really hard and we're going to build these buildings ourselves and we're going to make sure everything is paid for so we don't pass that debt on to the next generation. And we're able to do a lot of great things because where a lot of churches today are having to send a lot of money to go pay for debt, we are on a debt-free campus. And we need to be able to say thank you. Thank you, God, for those faithful saints that passed that on to us. God, we want to be responsible and remember what you have told us in Luke chapter 12, and it says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Do you understand that we have been given a great responsibility? We have been given a great gift to be on Rosedale Highway. Wasn't that awesome that the people before us, we didn't get to choose this property. There were other people that were able to pick. Man, aren't we blessed to be on Rosedale Highway? Aren't we blessed to be on a debt-free facility? Aren't we blessed that there was people, even though there were challenges and temptations, they said, you know what, we're going to stay true to the Word of God and pass the gospel on in this church. God has given us a great gift. And Grace Baptist, we need to make sure that we are responsible, not just to maintain what we have, but to do more with it. Do you remember what the parable of the talent, when the guy received the one talent and he goes and he just buries it? And then he comes back to the master and says, look, I'm just giving you what you gave me. And the master says, you're wicked and lazy. Man, I hope that we don't stand before God one day and we say, God, we're giving you what we had. Because he's going to look at us and say, we're wicked and lazy. He should be able to look at us and say, you took that and you doubled it and you tripled it and you quadrupled it. Because you were given much, I expect much to be done for the kingdom of God. This is a stewardship that has been placed in your hand, Grace Baptist Church. And you have a great responsibility that God is going to hold us accountable to with what we do with it. And then the last thing I want you to see in verses 18 through 20 is that we have to remain true to our heritage. We have to endure. Notice what it says in verse 18. Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? How many of us are glad that Jesus forgave our sins today? Isn't it exciting that we have a heritage, that we have a good news that we can share, that you know what? We don't hope to go to heaven. We know that we're going to be in heaven. That we're a part of this heritage of the family of God. And it doesn't just begin with the people who were here 50 or 60 years ago, but it goes all the way back to Jesus and even before him. There's a heritage that has been passed on from the people of God that say, listen, this is the true and genuine gospel. And notice, this isn't the New Testament. This is Micah, Old Testament, saying, listen, God forgives sin. Notice he says, listen, he doesn't retain his anger forever because God delights in mercy. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. I love this. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I'm going to tell you, if you're not excited about that, there's something wrong with your heart. Man, to think that all of my sins are cast. Anybody ever been to the sea and see how deep it is? They don't even know how deep it is. Some of it. Because they can't even get down there so deep. Isn't it amazing to think about all our sins cast, totally forgiven, totally forgotten about, totally washed away? And this is the good news. This is what me and you are to be about. And the reason we're to be about it is because there were people who were dear saints who went before us. And that's what they were about. And they passed that on to us. And today we stand and we have to remain and we must pass this on to the next generation. This youth group, the children's ministry, in 15, 20 years, will they still be standing here in a more perverse, in a more wicked, in a more challenging world, but still standing up here and say, you know what, we still believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to tell our stories. We have to help them to remain true. One day there was a man who found a young eagle that had fallen out of his nest. And he took it home to his farm and put it in the barnyard with the chickens. And this little young eagle began to walk around like a chicken and eat like a chicken. And one day a naturalist came by to his farm and saw this eagle and says, why is that eagle acting like a chicken? And he says, well, I've just trained it to be that way. I taught it how to eat like that. That's all it's ever known. And so it's not really an eagle, it's a chicken. And the naturalist said, no, it's still got a heart of an eagle. He can surely be taught how to fly. So he lifted the eagle toward the sky and threw it up. And the eagle stretched out its wing, but it just immediately went back down to the ground and started to eat. So the naturalist took it on top of the barn and said, listen, you're an eagle, go and fly. And he throws the eagle up, but it just falls and it goes and eats as a chicken again. And then he finally took it to the mountains. And he took that eagle and he said, listen, you are an eagle. You're not meant to be a chicken. Go and fly. And the eagle flew out of his hands and stretched forth and rose to the sky. As the eagle flew, there were times he went back to the barnyard and flew over. But he never stopped and became a chicken again. He rose up and remained an eagle because that's what he was created to be. Do you understand that there was a heritage that has been passed on to us by God? That we were created to be eagles, not chickens. And some of us are chickens because we just chose and made bad decisions and we've been hanging around chickens all our life. And God's saying, listen, do you understand I have something greater for you that I have to be instilled in your life? And today I want to challenge you, Grace Baptist Church, to realize that we have a heritage as a church that didn't start with a bunch of chickens. We had men and women who were willing to sacrifice, who were willing to say, you know what, we believe that God started this and that he's got great things. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to give. We're going to build because we believe that the world needs to be reached with the gospel. Grace Baptists, we're called to be eagles and to go and take that vision and continue it and make it even greater until Jesus returns. Let's pray.